This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Bob Edwards. President Bush travels to Wisconsin today to give a speech on health care. On Capitol Hill, hearings on the Enron scandal are getting most of the attention, although the House of Representatives is preparing to take up campaign finance reform. Republicans are trying to get the White House to oppose the bill, but the Bush administration appears to be more focused on expanding the war on terrorism beyond Afghanistan. Joining me now is NPR's Cokie Roberts. Good morning.
Morning, Bob.
Kenneth Lay, the former chairman and CEO of Enron, is supposed to testify on Capitol Hill tomorrow, but apparently he's going to take the Fifth Amendment.
Well, apparently his lawyers have won the argument with him. He is reportedly very eager to testify to, quote-unquote, tell his story. He looked at the example of Jeffrey Skilling, the former CEO, last week and thought that Skilling had done a good job. You can get a good argument going on that. You had lots of members of Congress over the weekend in both parties and members of Congress who are pursuing the Enron investigations saying that despite the number of times that Skilling said, I don't know, I don't recall, I don't remember, that he might have perjured himself. And obviously, Lay's lawyers don't want the same thing to happen with him. Now, part of the reason they say that is that there's so many meetings, so many records of the meetings that they can go back and check and see if there are reasons that Skilling should recall or Lay should recall what was going on. And as the investigation unfolds, they're learning more and more things that are upsetting them about Enron and what went on there over the past year in particular. And as they get into the investigation, you're now seeing, for instance, the Labor Department saying that they want to remove the pension plan officials at Enron and take it over with other fiduciaries because the workers lost about $1 billion in their pensions while the officers of the company made off with millions of dollars. So each page that they unturn or turn over in the Enron investigation gets the company into bigger trouble.
And is it any coincidence that the House is bringing up campaign finance reform?
Certainly not. The supporters of campaign finance reform, given the amounts of money that Enron spread around Capitol Hill and state houses, believe that this is the perfect time to bring up the bill. Now, the Speaker of the House said in a private Republican meeting that this was Armageddon, that the Republicans would lose the House if they allowed campaign finance reform to pass. Probably a somewhat unfortunate choice of words, making it sound like they had nothing else going for them other than raising money. And he, the Speaker, and other Republicans have tried to get the President to weigh in, to lobby against the bill. So far, the President has said no and don't count on me to veto it. So the real question there is, if the President stays out of it, what do the Republicans who have voted for campaign finance reform in the past when they thought it was a free vote, what do they do tomorrow, the next day when it comes to the floor? Do they stick with the position they've had before and vote for it, or do they vote for something weaker or for what's called poison pill substitutes or amendments that would then send it back to the Senate and to a long, dark conference committee? That's the question that we'll see. We'll see played out in the next couple of days, but as you say, it's played out with Enron going on all around them on Capitol Hill, making everybody a little bit nervous.
The Bush administration's been able to fend off its domestic policy dispute by focusing on the war and foreign policy, but there's now dispute brewing on both fronts.
It's true, and the war front is not going to be helped by reports today that the CIA missile strike that last week that they thought might have gotten Osama bin Laden, in fact, was some Afghan villagers. In fact, the Washington Post reports this morning that its reporter, when he tried to get close to the area, was held off at gunpoint by a U.S. soldier. So it's a lot of confusion on the ground there. But there are questions about what happens next, both in Afghanistan and in other places. What was the president implying by talking about the axis of evil? There's been lots of criticism of that remark, both at home and abroad, and a lot of suspicion that he's planning to go into Iraq.
Does it look like some action is imminent there?
Well, you know, of course, that there's been a lot of pressure inside the administration to do that, to finish up the 1991 war. You'd have to get the allies on board, but it surprised people last week when Colin Powell, who has been the person urging caution in the administration, said we might have to go it alone in Iraq. Nobody quite knows what that means or how to do it without the cooperation of allies. Geographically, it would be very difficult. And then what do you do once you get in there? That was the problem in 91. There's not a resistance on the ground that's obvious to take over, and the United States doesn't want to set up an occupying army. So lots of questions remain.
NPR's Cokie Roberts.